welcome to the Geek Night In, episode 14. It's been a while. We've tried to record episode 14 a couple of times and there have been problems, but we're back now. Hooray. I'm sorry we were gone so long. Welcome back to the podcast where we talk about geeky things and trains and puppies and LGBT gaming conventions and showing games off at things and stuff and people and barbecues and all the other things we feel like talking about. So hooray, geeky stuff, woo, hurrah. I'm your host, Laura. You might have forgotten that because I've been gone for a while because, you know, something's happened with this podcast. We're getting it back on track. You know, we'll be back, we promise. This week we've got Tilly with us again.
Yay, it's me. Sorry, something vibrated and I got really scared.
That was my phone. I apologise. It's now moved to somewhere where the microphone will not pick it up. I'm sorry if my big long intro daunted you slightly.
A little bit. I was like, how am I going to match this?
I know. I sound like a proper host that knows what they're doing today, which is amazing.
A bit rambly, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. This is the result of me being up since 3 a.m. and it's now like 10 a.m. before we start recording. So 10 p.m. before we start recording. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, we also have Kate with us this week.
Yes, we do. Hello.
Hello. How have you been?
Good. I was in Spain and I read a lot of books, which was fantastic. And I started reading Philippa Gregory books, which are quite good.
I don't know.
Oh, we should definitely
talk
about that.
Yeah, you'll have to tell us what those are and do
some. Yeah, she was the one who wrote The Other Boleyn Girl, but I didn't read that. I read some other ones. So yes, we will be talking about that.
We will get onto your books from the week and we'll talk about that a bit. Also, we have Gemma this week.
Hello. I'm recovering from travelling. I'm glad to be in one bed, which sounds really misleading, actually.
You were back in the same country as me for once recently. We actually got to see each other the other week, which was really nice.
Yes, but of course Kate kept up the rule and left the country.
Yes, someone from this podcast has to be outside of the UK at all times.
Yeah,
we cannot all be in the same country at once. Which is going to make Nine Worlds really interesting when it comes up in August, because we're supposed to all be there.
Wow.
I'm waiting for which one of us ends up outside of the country.
Yeah, we
just like
see.
Sat there on, like, you know, with maybe a tin can and a string.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, we have a special guest with us this week because we know lovely geeky people and we thought, hey, we should invite another lovely geek onto the podcast. So, special mystery guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Wait, am I the special mystery guest?
Yeah, you're the special mystery guest.
Well, is it a mystery if I say who I am?
Well, up until this point, you're a mystery, because currently you're just the disembodied voice that won't tell anyone who you are.
The mystery is yours to reveal.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Roca. I run the convention GamerX in San Francisco, California, in the United States. GamerX is a LGBTQ gaming kind of focused convention where we explore kind of like, you know, the ways that you know, queerness and gaming kind of intersect in just a lot of weird ways. So
now, I have to stick my hand up now and admit this. Me and Tony have followed each other on Twitter for ages, and I've wanted to get her on a podcast for ages, and we finally sorted it out with my other podcast, the Indie Haven podcast, and then I failed to turn up. And I felt really bad, because this was basically like the whole thing was, hey, I finally get to talk to Tony. Oh, wait, I'm missing the podcast that she's on because I can't make time work. So I've been meaning to do this for a while, and then tonight I had my moment of, wait a second, gay gaming conventions are quite geeky. I would assume someone involved in one of those is probably a bit of a geek. Why not get them on here so that I can actually talk to them for a while? Because this needed to be a thing. So hooray, we have Tony on the podcast. Yay.
I'm sorry. I was just saying she just basically was like, hey, are you busy? And I was like, yes, but I also can get on the podcast. I'm essentially, I multitask. I'm essentially an octopus. That means that I'm usually doing, you know, eight things at once. Of course, sometimes it does mean I'm brushing my teeth with a pencil and writing notes with a toothbrush. But
there is nothing wrong with that at all.
Given that I started the podcast with a microphone plugged into my headphone socket, then I can relate.
Oh, goodness. I have to admit, like, I'm doing the same. I'm currently making a YouTube video while recording the podcast because multitasking, yay.
Absolutely.
Anyway, geeky things people want to talk about this week. Who has something burning that they want to get out of them and be like, ah, geekiness?
Sorry, but you just made it sound like an STD.
Well, if you want to spread your geekiness like an STD, then go right ahead.
Tagline.
Yeah, I once slept with a guy, and then the next morning I woke up and I was like, I really want to play Minecraft. It was the worst.
I was very
Nora,
unsure.
Is this what I've thought?
Oh God, I was very unsure where this story was going.
Is this what
I
got from you?
Is this why you now want to play Mario Kart all the time? Have you caught video games?
Yeah. Might be.
Oh,
wrong.
I'm sorry that I transferred you video games.
It burns when I play video games.
Anyway, before this gets any worse, who has a topic they want to talk about this week? Anyone?
Well, I can talk about my books.
Talk to us about your books. Get us away from this train wreck while, you know, before anyone else dies.
Basically, on holiday I downloaded on my Kindle a load of Philippa Gregory, and she wrote The Other Berlin Girl, but she's written loads and loads of books. She must be rolling in it. And basically, I don't know all of her books, so I can't really give a definitive conclusion. But she basically writes about dramatic, pretty, white, noble women from the past. And it's very interesting, but it would be awesome if she did some non-white noble women as well, because there are loads of them in European history and world history, so that would be cool. But I read The White Queen, which is about Elizabeth Woodville.
Can I just say, I heard that title and I was like, yep, that sums up your description of
yeah, it kind of does.
Rich white women from the past.
The White Queen.
Yeah,
it's, the sequel is The Red Queen, and it's about the battle, what's it called? York and Lancaster, the War of the Roses.
The Battle of Rich White Women.
Yeah, basically, it kind of was. It was basically, and it's really interesting though, the politics of it. But the thing that really made me laugh was on the front of this book, it's had from Glamour, a review that said it was really sexy, and I think she has sex maybe once in the entire, well, she has sex a lot because she has a lot of children, but most of the book she's trying not to die, and I'm thinking, where is the, you know, the Mills and Boone 50 Shades aspect coming in? So I don't really know what that was about, but it was really good.
Maybe she just really has a thing for people in mortal peril. Maybe that's her thing.
That it actually is a fetish. I forgot its name, but I had to research this for a game jam recently, and it's a fetish.
Oh, is this the one where you made the game about erect nipples?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. We're going to have to talk about this later. Gemma made a game this week about you have to make nipples erect. That's all I know about the game.
Well, it wasn't this week, but it was this month. Oh,
this month, yeah. Okay. I found out about it this week, so... Anyway, derail that conversation very quickly. Keep going, Kate.
Was that The White Queen had like a mini series on the BBC?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, did it?
Yes, she did. Or it
Hold
did.
On. Hold on.
Well,
a second.
I totally would have just watched the TV.
Was it
it
did. BBC series. Yeah, me and my mum used to watch it.
Hooray.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was quite good.
I recognise it, actually, because
I never
read
the book, and I really want to, because my mum's a big Philippa Gregory fan, and I want to read all her books.
Yeah, I've downloaded
People are so spoiled with your BBC over here in the States, we don't get that.
No, but you have like, everything else.
You
have
HBO.
Wrong. BBC is rubbish at the moment.
We've got, like,
yeah, it's with tennis.
There's nothing wrong with tennis.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've found more BBC shows that I've liked than American sitcoms. I can't stand American sitcoms.
The problem is everyone likes what they can't have.
Disagree.
I think everyone likes what they cannot have, and we're all sort of like, oh, it's that mythical good stuff on the other side of the pond. And I think here's the thing. I think where that perspective is skewed, and someone made this really good point to me recently, is for us in England... we see American shows, like, we only hear about the American shows that are either really good or the ones that are so bad that they're good. Anything in the middle, we just never hear about.
And
the same for Tony, for English shows, is you never hear about the mountain of terrible stuff that's right in the middle. All you hear about is the fantastic stuff and the stuff that's so bad it's good.
And it could be worse. It could be Swedish TV. Swedish TV has nothing going for it.
What is Swedish TV like? I've never asked you about Swedish TV, Jeb.
Well, the only bit I've managed to actually engage with was the Swedish rendition of LOLO. which was a world of wonderment because it was a recording of a live stage performance. So that was weird enough. But this is Allo Allo performed in the Swedish language with actors performing lines that were said in English in a French accent in Swedish. It's brilliant.
My goodness, that's a melting pot of things I want to experience.
Yeah, so basically next to that, anything else on Swedish TV I'm not bothered with. But there doesn't seem to be much I'm missing out on apart from a David Hasselhoff chat show and mostly just dubs of other stuff, really.
Oh, I want to bring up like my little side bit of news about TV this week. And it's just like the most hilarious thing about my day job is I was sat on a supermarket checkout yesterday and a very small child is there with their parents. And the parents are like, the child's clearly about 3 years old and very tired. And the parents say, oh, when we get home, do you want to put on a DVD and just have a lie down and watch a DVD? And the child's like, oh, yes, yes, please. And the parents say, what would you like to watch? And very loudly, the three-year-old turns around and says, can I watch Game of Thrones, please? And it was this moment of the parents very quickly turned to me and said, just so you know, we don't let our three-year-old watch Game of Thrones. I was like, that's reassuring to know. Apparently it is just this child had picked up on the name of Game of Thrones, and it's the fact that it's the one thing they know their dad watches but they're not allowed to watch, which is why it was maybe we should watch Frozen instead, that might be more suitable to you.
The girl
I think that Game of Thrones is really interesting in that aspect, because I feel like there's a lot of shows you wouldn't want kids to see because you may not want them to be, like, you know, exposed to something overtly sexual or potentially problematic at a young age, or, you know, incredible violence or something like that. But I feel like with Game of Thrones, the conversation you would need with your child is to be like, I want you to understand that life is not nearly this bleak.
I like the thought of showing that to children and just literally using it as literally everything that every character in this does. That's how you should not live your life. Like, this is a warning tale of if you do bad things, everyone you love will die.
Excuse me. I would be happy to have a daughter who grew up living under the principles of Sansa Stark.
Okay.
I live my life under the principles of Sansa Stark. If I'm having a bad day, I think if Sansa Stark can live in King's Landing, I can get through today. She is the exception.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but there are certainly aspects of that show around Sansa Stark that might not be quite so applicable.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't necessarily show it to your kid, but you could write, oh, you know how they wrote that book, like The Wisdom of Tyrion Lannister? We need one that's like how to survive and be like Sansa Stark. I would read that.
Hmm.
I think they need to just write a book that is, do not do what any of these people are doing. They're all horrible. Run away as fast as you can. Get away from them. The advice book.
There should be a content warning on the show, which is like, you know, parental advisory, terrible characters. Terrible people, rather.
Oh, goodness.
Well, as a tangent, I could always drop in the fact I booked tickets for the sword dancing lessons with Sirio Farrell at Nine Worlds.
I have also booked tickets for this. I will hopefully be doing this. So, hooray!
Yes, I should be doing it early on Saturday morning.
Wait, is it that actual person?
Yeah, it's Miltos Jeromu. I assume it's the surname. Yeah, he gives sword lessons.
Yeah, they're going to be at Nine Worlds doing sword lessons.
And that's, you get to take amazing. Away a sword as a souvenir.
What?
A wooden sword. And the best thing is, George R.R. Martin is coming to Worldcon the week after. So I'm totally going to take along my sword and just get him to sign it.
Oh. Actually, yeah. Okay, let's tangent away from that. Gemma, tell us about your game about erect nipples. I have been dying to ask you about this.
Well, it's luckily I've just been putting the final touches to my blog post about it, because basically, back at the beginning of the month, sort of about the 6th of June, I travelled to Copenhagen. I think I mentioned on the podcast, which might have been lost to the ether. That was my first trip on a night train. So yeah, this ended up about trains. But yeah, it was for Lust Summit, which is a convention about love, sexuality, and romance in games. It was put on by the Copenhagen Game Collective and the Game Girl Workshop, both of whom are Denmark-based, obviously. So yeah, we had like a day of talks with really fascinating people talking about things like sex mechanics in games and diversity and the people making them. And then we had a 48-hour game jam on a boat.
Can I just ask, why is this not a thing in the UK? This is exactly what the UK indie scene needs right now is, hey, these are some things that games don't do very well that games could probably do interesting things with. Why aren't we doing these?
Well, I can see actually why Copenhagen was the one to host it. It's a really nice, vaguely bohemian city.
It's a bohemian, progressive place. And I can, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, good point, Copenhagen. Probably if there was a good place to do it, that's it. That being said, I want one in London. But anyway, tell us about the game jam.
Well, yeah, once we broke up and did a game jam, I was working with a couple of people who we just ended up making what I describe as a sex toy, because it's a game in the very loosest sense, in that we basically just bunged a load of abstract representations of fetishes and skins and like the balls of latex and bound flesh balls and things like that, and they all interact in the screen. And I ended up doing sound effects for this, so literally I had to sit there and watch porn for about 2 hours, getting sound clips from it and editing those.
This sounds like my kind of game jam.
What kind of porn did you use? Just like regular porn?
Well, I had to look up fetish porn because I was getting like the rubber sound effects and stuff like that.
Is this why you were looking up fetishes?
Yes. Yeah, we ended up going to
James Dean
and looking up a list of all the various philias. So there is a plushophilia, which is getting sexually turned on by plushes.
Yeah. Wow.
We didn't cover that one.
Like cuddly toys.
Yeah.
That's a kind of brony thing, isn't it?
Not quite.
Oh, I see.
Is that a gross misgeneralization?
Yes. But...
Oh. I've seen, like, well, to be honest, most of the stuff that I see about bronies on the internet is bronies, like, proper, oh my god, it's genuinely a horrible person who wants to make it. So, like, there's been some awful stories. That's a tangent. Carry on, sorry.
Well, that's about it, basically. It's this thing where the objective was to find out what your iPad was into. Because the idea was that the fetishes wouldn't necessarily interact with each other in ways you would expect. And it's about exploring sexual boundaries and working stuff out. And that was our game.
That's wonderful.
Other people went for like other interpretations of love. So there's a fascinating one, which actually won the jam sort of thing, about, it was called Custody. And it was about, it was set on two PCs and a mobile device. And it was all about, the PCs were parents, so you'd have to work and earn cash. And then the mobile device would be linked up to that, and it would represent the child. And you'd pass the child between each other, vying for its affections. And all this sort of thing. It's all just people making games with different interpretations on love, basically. And we went for the kinky one. So that was the summit.
That's wonderful. Have you ever? Sorry, this might be tangential. So, have you ever heard of the game Cart Life?
No.
So this is a Richard Hoffmeyer game. I think it won an award at the IGF at GDC 1 year. Richard Hoffmeyer, who's actually a really really wonderful guy, if you ever get to meet him, he made this game called Cart Life. And One of the stories that you can play in it is actually a woman who has decided to separate and divorce from her husband. And it's this really, really tough game of you trying to manage your time, trying to start a business, like, and scraping to do so, while also trying to, like, balance having shared custody of your daughter. And, you know, basically the goal of the game at the end is that you have like a meeting with like with somebody at the city to like discuss the custody of your daughter, because you want to have like split or full custody of your kid. But it depends on how well you do in like, you know, in trying to work and also trying to like, you know, pick up your daughter from school on time and like have good conversations with her and stuff like that. And I thought that was really interesting.
Wow.
I suggest that game.
What did you say that was called?
cart life.
Cart life.
Yeah.
Very interesting sounding. I may have to go and play this tonight and
you see should. What I can do. I suggest it to anybody. It's a very good game for anybody who enjoys feeling like kind of what other people feel when you play a game.
That is my thing with games. So
yeah, I think it's a lot of thing, and it's a lot of people's thing with game. And it's funny because that's such a like vast minority of gaming experiences. You know, usually the more common gaming experience is games that are trying to make you feel big and strong.
Yeah.
As a point, I need more suggestions from like anyone who listens to the podcast who has games like that that they can suggest on Twitter at Laura K Buzz. If there's any that I haven't heard of, I'm starting to do daily YouTube videos on the Indie Haven YouTube channel, which I started off doing a Let's Play of Valiant Hearts. I really want to find lots of obscure little indie games about experiencing someone else's perspective on things, and that's what I'm really interested in doing. So if you can send me loads of those, I will do Let's Plays of them. So that's what I would like to do. So hooray.
Well actually, so a really easy way to cheat on that in my experience is Anna Anthropy's blog on auntiepixelanti.com.
Really good resource. Problem is, I've already gone there. I've replayed a lot of the
stuff. Yeah, that's usually what I hear.
This is my problem, is that I want to go and, like, I want to start doing videos of stuff that I haven't played and to do videos while I'm doing it the first time and catch those experiences. I have played too many of the good ones that I've already heard about.
Well, the thing is that what's cool about her blog is that she still goes out and finds new ones. So it's just a good resource to check into every now and then. Also, Forest Ambassador, have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
So I believe that's Merrick Kopis's project. Merrick Kopis played the game Lim, L-I-M, which I also suggest. It's a very relatable game if you've ever been afraid of public violence. But she also runs this thing called Forest Ambassador. It's forestambassador.com. And she focuses on posting games that could be played by someone who's never played games before.
I think that's
an awesome, awesome thing.
I need to put links to this in the chat. This is interesting. not in the chat, in the show notes. Because go look at the show notes. There'll be some notes. We'll link to some of these things.
These are all really cool stuff. As somebody who throws a convention, I'm constantly getting in touch with people doing really cool projects. So this is my job to know about these things. So usually when someone asks for something, I'm like, I have like 100 suggestions.
That is fine. As someone that runs an indie gaming site and that is known to play, enjoy, and also be creating games that are about like issues and things that aren't in games, I get a lot of these sent to me as well. So I know the feeling. It's just what are the good ones? What are the ones I haven't seen yet?
It's an interesting thing with games is because like the thing we found that thing we proved at Lust Summit is that it's not that games are incapable of showing these sorts of broad and human topics, it's just that people haven't worked out how to yet. So I like the idea of just doing geeky stuff to try and expand upon this.
Slight side topic, I made a video game and put it out for sale in an afternoon this week. Like, my challenge for this game...
Was it the Social Justice Warrior game?
Oh, no. Different one. In the space of an afternoon, I made a game called You Only Get One, and it was based on a Game Jam title that I never got around to taking part in the Game Jam when it happened, but the theme I made it around was around fathers and people that have both a father and a stepfather and some of the interactions with that. Why I brought it up, I had quite an interesting thing where the opening third of the game, the mechanic is boredom and repetition and not having anything to do. And that was an interesting thing, being like, hey, I'm going to make a game where the interaction is how boring this space is to explore. Which was that was the thing. Yeah. Games can be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's what we're aiming for with our It was called Playtext, but our project was basically we wanted it to be really tactile and have lots of feedback and stuff, kind of like sex does.
Indeed.
I guess. Hurrah. Yeah.
Has anyone got any topics they want to bring up that are not games? Should we any non-game stuff? Also, while we're here, I just have to say Tilly's had to drop out of the podcast for a couple of reasons. She'll be back next week. She's really sorry she's had to go. And Tony, it was really nice to meet you, she says. Really sorry that she didn't get to spend longer talking to you. So, goodbye, Tilly.
Bye.
Anyway, non-game stuff. Who has
the reason is that she's turned into a cat.
Yeah, she can no longer hold the phone that has Skype to her ear.
Oh, that happens. It's really inconvenient.
I've lost track of how many times I turned into a cat. I was just like, oh god, not again.
Actually, tangentially, by the way, there's also a game where you get to play as a cat that pushes things off of shelves.
Yes, I saw some links about this today, and I've been meaning to look into it. What is it called? I just kept seeing
lateral damage. I've just linked to it. They've raised, like, on their Kickstarter, they've raised like $40,000. Like, what the hell? Like, are games this expensive to make?
Oh yeah, games are expensive to make. Like,
games are super expensive to make.
That's really cheap for a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I'm so excited about the idea of cat lateral damage because it is literally, hey, be a cat, be horrible, make everyone hate you, but then they can't hate you because you're a cat.
Exactly.
Break everything, destroy everything, but you know, you can get away with it because at the end of the level it will be, oh, it's okay, you're adorable.
Cat lateral damage does what Goat Simulator don't.
Oh, goodness. You know what the newest simulator going around this week is?
Well, the Rock Simulator.
Rock Simulator, which... I feel bad that that's gotten all the success it has, not because I don't like the idea, but because it's going on something that has already been done, and I feel really bad that the original creators didn't get any credit, because there was a game called Mountain a couple of weeks ago that came out, which again was, you play as a mountain. you have no controls, you erode over time, you interact with the world in every way that a mountain can interact with the world.
Do you have to try and come to Muhammad?
Oh, they said that.
Well done. I mean, religious humor. Thank you. I am impressed.
Yeah, I mean, popularity is always kind of weird like that. Like, I mean, Angry Birds is basically just a ripoff of a open source project, the game that somebody made that's essentially the same game. That was done by a company that had a massive marketing budget, and so
yeah,
you know, that became huge. And
it's a real shame when you see, like, it's like, hey, you took this idea that someone already had and you got all the credit, and not that you didn't do a good job, but I feel bad for the people who made it in the first place. That's a shame.
Yeah, it's kind of like there was also that game, what is it, it's 128, I think.
That was cool.
1024, yeah, the freeze knockoff.
Well, I had this conversation with Tilly where I was trying to tell Tilly about 1024, and she was like, oh, you mean threes? I was like, no, it's this game called 1024, and she didn't realize they were the same, like, they were different game, or the other way around. She hadn't heard of threes, but she had played 1024, and she just didn't know that the original game existed. I was like, no, there's an original game that was based on, and it's better. And she's like, oh, I just heard of this one. Sorry, I forgot which one was the popular one for a minute there.
Yeah, well, I think 1024 got popular, which is, I'm sure, very stressful for the people that made threes. Especially because, I mean, 1024 isn't as pretty, the music isn't as good, you know, it's not as cute, it doesn't have all the little details that threes does.
Well, there was an interview with the developer, and literally it all boiled down to, hey, the alternative is a free game. I charge for mine. Therefore, everyone went for the free version, not the paid one. And that is literally like the main deciding factor for which one got popular, was which one can people try for free? Which one was there a paywall on? Which is a shame. Oh, goodness. News that happened this week. I took a game to a convention. I went to Radius Festival, which is where I saw Gemma this week.
Yeah. Or,
It's most maybe like a little over a week ago now, but yeah, I'm making a game called You Are the Reason, and I took that to a convention to be like, hey, come play my game. And my goodness, showing a game you've made is much, 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 much harder and much scarier and much more draining and also much more rewarding than going to a convention and critiquing other people's work.
See, I have to do that now. I have to go and try and critique stuff because I've only ever done showing.
If you seriously want to do that, we will talk after the podcast. I would love to do something for Indie Haven where we get you doing, like, going to a convention and doing some previews and, like, writing about your experience of that.
Yeah, I'd be game for that.
We'll talk after the podcast. We'll make something up. But again, that's the counterpoint we still need to do, is the going the other way. But it's a really interesting thing, like, having spent the last 3 years of my life every day ingrained in critiquing other people's work, it's very odd to see that from the other side and suddenly realize, oh my goodness, it's terrifying every time someone plays one of your like the game you've made.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like,
oh. I've heard a similar story actually from like artists going to artist alleys for the first time. They've been to conventions years running and seen all their favorite artists, and they've done fan art and stuff for them. And then they're suddenly running a stall, and it must be a similar feeling.
Well, it's that same, like, there's a lot of parallels that you can draw, definitely, in the sort of, you suddenly, like, I know for me, I got a huge amount of respect suddenly for what it does when I run around an indie area of a convention and play a game, and, like, put the headphones on, don't speak to the developer, play through the game, make secretive notes that they don't see, walk away without saying a word. That is the most horrible thing anyone can do if you've brought a game somewhere. And I feel so bad now. I'm like, I know I've done that in the past. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I didn't realize how horrible that was. Video games. This seems to have become a video game podcast. Kate, do you have any non-video game things to talk about?
Trying to think. I haven't really done that much this week because I was in Spain. I read some comics. That was cool. I read some Secret Avengers. There's like two Secret Avengers series out at the moment. Yeah. There's one which started about a year ago or 2 years ago. 2 years ago? I don't know. And then there's one that just started, but the old one is carrying on. And they're both really good, but I think, I don't know which one I prefer. It's really good, and it's made me look at, like, the Marvel Cinematic Avengers. It's just made me think, like, oh, that's rubbish. Fun things that happen in geekdom. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago on moviepilot.com about how Black Widow isn't a feminist icon. And to be fair, it wasn't a very good article. I didn't really pitch it. I didn't really make my point correctly. But somebody wrote in the comments, like, oh, you know, why are you saying about, you know, there were hundreds of comments about how it was ridiculous to expect feminism from a movie. And one of them said, we've got two options, patriarchy or matriarchy. This is what we have. So that was a thing that happened. Oh. I was like, oh, bless you.
Oh,
well, let's give matriarchy, you know, a try for a couple
thousand
years.
Exactly, it's only fair.
And then we can try for 2,000 years, and then we can see how that goes.
Exactly, I like this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that, you know, we've got to have an equal amount of time so that, you know, we can make a balanced judgment to make sure that we're giving every side its fair shot. So, you know, a couple of thousand years of the matriarchy might not be the worst thing that's ever happened. We couldn't do a worse job than the patriarchy's done.
It's only fair.
You know, only fair indeed. Oh, goodness.
Well, speaking of Avengers, my recent non-gamey experience was finally getting around to watching Iron Man 3.
Whole thing.
Okay. Well, before we say any more, has everyone on this podcast seen it?
Unfortunately,
I have not.
Okay,
lucky you.
Are you intending to see it, or can we talk spoilers?
I cannot sit myself through a superhero movie. I really just can't.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, we're not going to get on in general, but
that's fine. We've just not found the right superhero films for her. I'm going to send her some, like, off the beaten path obscure ones to be like, I
please.
We'll do this separately. But Gemma, tell us your
listeners' recommendations. Yes.
Tell
because I can't think of any.
Actually, one that comes to mind is a film called Super, which is basically imagine Kick-Ass without the children. It's adults without the 80s soundtrack, so without the sort of like every so often breaking into song and dance and like fighting to music, and without that sort of pop art aesthetic, but it's like the sort of, it's Kick-Ass meets Juno is the best way I can put it, I think. It's like the sensibilities of something like Juno with this sort of dark comedy, more adult focus, but keeping that same focus that like the pitch of something like Kick-Ass had, where it is about ordinary people trying to become superheroes.
Let's be honest, the best superhero film is The Incredibles.
The Incredibles actually is probably the best.
I would take The Incredibles in terms of a good superhero film over, it would go Incredibles, X-Men Days of Future Past, and then I think the rest are just like meh.
I'm trying to think of a BBC show that I saw. I think it was called Misfits, maybe.
Oh, Misfits, yes. That was Channel 4, I think. But
yeah, I remember watching the first season of that, and it was just so amazing. And yeah, then the other season.
That show went off the rails when the original cast left. I think it was the end of maybe the second series where like a lot of the main cast just evaporated away very quickly. And yeah, that show... Like that, the first season, maybe the first season and a half of that show were fantastic. Yeah. Like, it still has my favorite instance of any superhero thing ever, which is if you see no other episode of Misfits, look up the episode with the person whose superpower is the control of milk.
You love that.
Like, I've talked about this on the podcast before.
I remember that now.
This might have been season two. This was.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, this was the.
I think it was in season two.
It was a flashback to like the first superhero who came out about their powers, and he became super famous because he was the first person to have superpowers. But it was a terrible power. He could control milk. He had power to control milk with his mind, and. Then other superheroes start coming forward, obviously, and he's very quickly forgotten. So he goes on a murderous rampage, killing people with milk. Like, there is nothing better than watching him, like, sneak people pizza with cheese on it, and then, like, he's like, choking people from the inside with foamed-up cheese, being like, I have milk powers. It's my favorite superhero. That might be my favorite superhero thing ever. Like, I love that. Yeah. Anyway, Gemma, you were going to tell us about Iron Man 3.
Well, it's sort of linked, I suppose. I wasn't really intending to spoiler it too much. But basically, like, the main thing that was interesting to me is this is the probably the first example of somewhere where I've actually read the comic before seeing the film. And it was weird because actually Iron Man is probably my favourite thread of the Avengers stuff. I just love Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. It's brilliant. But for those who aren't aware, Iron Man 3 basically takes the plotline of Extremis, which was Warren Ellis, I think it was. There's a graphic novel, Iron Man Extremis. It's about a few years ago. And it basically retold Tony Stark's origin story. So actually, the first bit of Extremis is the whole him stepping on a landmine and rebuilding his heart and stuff and making the original Iron Man, that sort of thing. But the rest of it is devoted to the actual serum that's discussed in the film, but in a completely different way. And just the way characters were treated in the comic, totally different to in the films. Like, one of the main antagonists is actually by no means evil in the original comic. And the comic's also somehow more intimate in terms of like the struggle between Tony and the extremist soldiers. Like, there's only one of them in the comic, but for some reason we got legions of them in the film, and this sort of thing. So, yeah, I didn't actually hate the film. It wasn't great.
To me, it was one huge missed opportunity where they kept touching on really interesting themes regarding post-traumatic stress disorder and, like, the ability to, like, separate your like the responsibility of being a superpowered person from the desire to have your own life, and like the way all those sort of things balanced had the potential to be really interesting, and like to me it just ended up as one big missed opportunity where they kept touching on all these really interesting themes and never quite exploring them well as I would have liked.
I find all films do that at the moment, like The Monuments Man that came out a couple of months ago. that basically, there were so many moments where I was like, and I think it's just all blockbusters do this because they lack bravery and they won't take risks. Like every time, I mean, the Monument Men is about World War II, and there were loads of bits where they touched on really, really deep emotional bits about life under the Nazis in France and Germany. And then as soon as you got too close, it stopped. And I think it was like that with pretty much all. The only film I found in terms of superhero movies that hasn't done that is Captain America 2. I really liked Captain America 2. Like, I would watch it 100 times over.
I had forgotten about Captain America 2, actually, and I loved the original film as well. So actually, yeah, that overtook Iron Man in my favouritism.
I watched Captain America. Yeah. I didn't like Captain America 1, and then I watched Captain America 2. And I think the perfect order of viewing is Avengers, Captain America 1 as a prequel, and then Captain America 2. Because if you, once you've seen, I think Chris Evans grew into that role, especially in Captain America 2.
I would definitely agree with you, actually. Yeah. Hooray. Tony, you had a non-gaming thing from GamerX you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, also, I wanted to mention that my friend Kara Ellison actually had a drawing made of her and Captain America, I believe, post-coitus.
Yes, I've seen this picture. It's fantastic. I want
I was hanging out with Kara that day, and actually the person who drew it, and Kara was practically just, like, staring at her phone, like, petting the screen all day. Like, every couple of hours, I'd look at Kara, and I'd be like, Kara, are you looking at the picture again? And she would just nod, staring at her phone.
Yeah. Oh, I had my piece of news, which isn't nearly as exciting as post-coitus Captain America. But
what
else? I had my first piece of fan art drawn for me this week.
Wow.
Like, I got this while I was at Radius Festival, and I forgot to talk about this, but I'm just trying to look up who the person is, because they need to be somewhere. I feel really bad because I can't find their name. I will mention you in the show notes, person, because you're amazing.
Fate has gotten to you, Laura. You've forgotten the little people.
Well, I'm really sorry. There is a week and a half of tweets I'm rapidly trying to scroll through in order to find this. But I got my first piece of fan art, which was this picture of me, like, me in a fantasy setting with this sort of like blowing scarf in the wind. And I kind of freaked out about this. I was like, oh my goodness, there is someone out there in the world that had time to make art and was like, I know who I'm going to make art of. So I kind of freaked out about that. So that's my geeky thing.
Congratulations.
I know. I'm so excited. I just had this picture. I'm like, oh, I love it. Love it.
I unfortunately, like, I know the pieces of art that I've gotten of me, like, from people like Natasha Allegri and stuff, are, like, are people that I know already.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever had anybody who I don't know just be like, hey, here's fan art of you. Maybe someday.
I've just dropped it in the Skype chat for everyone that's recording. It was just unsolicited from a Twitter person. And I was like, okay, I'm following you because you're lovely and you're amazing. I'm going to follow you now.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's so good, isn't it? It's just,
Laura, you look so badass.
I know. I wish I looked half that badass in real life. Oh, goodness.
Right. Actually, Chris Ligman, if you know who that is. They drew me as a sailor scout. A few weeks ago. I'd have to find it, but it was incredibly cute. Real quick, I just wanted to mention with regards to GamerX. So one of the people presenting, like, exhibiting at GamerX, you know, they've got a table and all that, is Optimistical Studios. And have you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't.
So they are really cool, and we had them last year, and we're glad to have them again. And they're giving us a bunch of free samples to they're giving us a bunch of their, like, their merch to, like, basically just hand out and stuff, because we really like giving away stuff at GamerX. Like, we want everyone to just, like, walk out with, like, a big bag of stuff. So one of the things they do they do geeky jewelry. And it's stuff that, like, I've seen conceptually, like, things like that along that line made by various, you know, companies or Etsy accounts and stuff like that. But they kind of, in my opinion, take it to, like, a next level. Their stuff is, like, really well-crafted and, like, really adorable. So they've got, like, Doctor Who earrings and things like that. And, like, and what's really nice is a lot of their jewelry is, like, really geeky but also really subtle. Like, it'll be, like, a logo of, like, a company in a video game or in a comic book or something like that, you know? So you can't really tell what it is unless you already know what it is.
I like that approach to geeky stuff where you can just have it as something subtle that's not necessarily like, hey, I play video games.
I have some geeky stuff, but I can't talk about it till next week. But this is just like a memo.
Is this you having your chance to, like, you get to be the one with the secrets this time?
Yeah, basically. It's a secret thing and I can't talk about it, but it has involved, you reminded me of it, Tony, because it was like geeky crafts. So you will find out soon.
I feel good that for once it's not me doing the teasing about secret things that they can't talk about.
Well, to be honest, it's not like exciting for anybody except me. It's just there's one person in the world that can't know about it, and there is it's very unlikely they will even listen to this podcast.
How's about this? You tell us in the chat and we will react on the podcast and
on air.
People can mysteriously on air be like, oh, what were they reacting to, you know, because that's what people listening to podcasts like, secrets being held from them.
Exactly.
Let's find out, is this worth, you know, being let's see. Oh, that's wow, that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I'm just lost to exploring Optimistical Studios.
Yeah, no, their stuff is so cool.
I noticed they don't have any Sansa Stark charms yet.
Yet.
Okay.
Yet. Well, I think the public in general is slowly warming up to Sansa Stark. You know?
Oh, she is a queen. I'm hoping to cosplay as Sansa Stark, like, but not properly. At Nine Worlds, but I want to get, like, you know, the purple dress that she wears in season 3?
Yeah,
I want to get that fabric and make a like a cape out of it, like a short cape, and like wear that, and then style my hair as Sansa, and then maybe have like a have like a wolf pin and some boots and like just skinny jeans, and just do it kind of like as, I think they call it stealth cosplay. So
I like the sound of this. Well done, hooray!
Oh, good.
We've got about 10 minutes left. Does anyone else have anything that they want to use this last 10 minutes to sort of talk about how much they love?
You, Laura. I love you.
Ah, oh, thank you. I don't know how to continue from there. Just
thank you. I can quickly plug GamerX. Since we
it doesn't have to be quick. You've got have the whole 10 minutes, plug GamerX, you know. Thank you for coming on with us now. It's your time to sell your stuff.
So GamerX, for those of you who are in the States, GamerX is in San Francisco, California. It's happening July 11th through 13th, so it's super soon. We were just talking about cosplay, and actually cosplay is like a big part of GamerX. So we're holding a cosplay competition. That has like a lot of like a bunch of really cool prizes, and like we have even these like custom made like glass award things that are really cool looking. They're super classy. The team doing the cosplay thing is really awesome, and it's just gonna be really cool. And like last year people went all out, and now there's gonna be like fancy and expensive rewards. It's gonna be even bigger. And on top of that, Riot Games, the company that makes League of Legends, they booked two rooms on the floor that the cosplay pageant is going to be taking place at. And those two rooms are for people who are in cosplay to come in and like relax and change and like, you know, drink water and stuff like that. And they'll have things out for people to be able to, like, you know, mend their cosplay and things like that.
Hooray.
So it's pretty exciting. There's going to be a lot of really cool costumes.
I need to get out there one year. I need to get across that stupid ocean that's in the way and come visit. Because that is the big problem for me, is there's a big body of water in the way. I'm not sure I'm a strong enough swimmer to get there.
Yeah, the Atlantic is so inconvenient.
I know. Can we just take England and America and just kind of push them a bit closer together?
It'll be San Francisco, New York, and London within like an hour of each other.
I like that. I will agree to your terms. Oh, I found the person on Twitter who sent me the fan art. It was Eyes of Sin, S-Y-N for Sin. But thank you, Eyes of Sin. I'm really sorry, Amanda, that I didn't remember who it was on Twitter. I'm sorry. I remember. Here's your shout out. It's amazing. Thank you.
Should I sing a song for them?
Go on, sing them a song.
This is your time to shine. I actually have no idea what that song is. It's from The Princess Diaries, and I only know that one line, but I sing it all the time.
I was curious for a moment if you'd made it up.
Maybe I did. Hang on a sec. This is it.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me find out if it's a real thing. Oh my god! Oh my god, it's by Raven, as in That's So Raven.
Oh, so...
best day of my life.
And she's queer.
Hooray! It all ties
she's
up together.
She's amazing, yeah.
Knew she was. That's a thing I learned today. Hooray!
Oh, yeah, I think she came out, like, last year, I think.
Yeah, it was I remember hearing about that. This makes... Yeah, I mean, that is so Raven.
I was about to say that.
Oh, goodness. Can I give a bit of a plug to a song someone sent me today? I'm just trying to find what the song is called. One second. But I thought it was absolutely amazing. Sorry, I'm doing really bad at being prepared today. It's by a guy called Matt Fischel, and it's called Radio Friendly Pop Song. And basically, it's a record... the song is from the perspective of a record producer singing about how this person needs to... Basically, it's like, hey, I love your songs. Just change the guy in them to a girl because, you know, make it friendly for the radio, then it will sell. And the whole song is like this guy being told to straighten up his pop song so that it will sell. And then the end is basically just like a big over-the-top chorus of like, it basically restructures the chorus in order to be like, hey, gay people exist. And it's really fun in the way it handles it. And it's such a catchy song. Just, it's called Radio Friendly Pop Song by Matt Fischel. Go look it up. It had me laughing for a good few minutes. It's really nicely handled.
I had one thing, which was a cool thing.
Tell us your cool thing.
Basically, in half an hour, I'm going to go and see How to Train Your Dragon at the cinema where I work, and it's like a staff screening. But my boss, right, he sent me this email like, oh yeah, there'll be a staff screening, blah, 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 this is the time. And then he said, P.S., it's a good thing Vikings didn't actually have dragons, or we'd all be speaking Norse. And I was like, what? Didn't the Vikings not need dragons and actually invaded all of Britain? And we kind of did speak Norse. And also, is Norse even a language?
Well, I was going to go a different direction with that, which is, are you aware that How to Train Your Dragon 2 has what appears to be one of the primary adult characters is gay?
Really? Oh my god.
Yes. If have any of you seen the first How to Train Your Dragon?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I have seen neither.
Okay. In the first film, if anyone that's listening has seen it, there is like basically the character who acts as a father figure for the main character, who's this big sort of like big burly blacksmith guy. And like absolutely lovely character. And in How to Train Your Dragon 2, the best way to put it is that there is a scene that comes up at one point where they're talking about why he always remains single all of his life. And he starts off talking about like it's like about his job, and then he's like, well, you know, that other there are other reasons I didn't find a wife, but you know, and cool. Like the way that they do it is it's like, oh, okay, you have made it very clear that they basically make it very clear that by the time he realized he was gay, he felt like it was too late for himself to go out on the market. And it's really sad in the way they and really sweet in the way they handle it. But
well, I just Googled, when you said that, I Googled How to Train Your Dragon Gay, which is kind of an interesting Google. And the first thing that came up was review, How to Train Your Dragon 2 imposes gay agenda on children. Why, clearly it's good. I'm pleased. This has made me happy.
Hey, you
I'm,
know, I'm anything that gets accused of pushing the gay agenda is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I feel like tonight I'm quite excited about this. I'm going to get the gay agenda pushed upon me.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, the character's called Gobba. Yes, I've just seen the same link you're talking about, the pushes the gay agenda. It barely does it. It never out and out says that he's gay, but it's very heavily implied. It's like...
That's cool.
It's like... this kind of
queer baiting at the same time.
Well, here's the thing. Any child that doesn't know that gay people exist, this will go completely over their head. But, you know, it's there, and it's just a really... It's like... It's very much like that whole thing in Frozen where the shopkeeper, you look in the sauna, it's like, oh yeah, my family's in the sauna. Very clearly your husband in there. Like, it's just, companies making animated films are getting slowly braver at like, we'll include gay characters. You just have to watch out for them. They're in there. But yeah, I'm just trying to find the link to exactly what happens. Yeah, it's basically in the film, like, this article I'm just reading talks about the fact that this character, Gobba, lets slip that settling down with a good woman was never on the cards for him. They get into a bit of a fight. Like, he's watching two, like, a man and woman get into a fight. It's like, this is why I never got married. Oh, and there is that other reason. And he sort of laughs it off. But
it could be like, oh, I'm married in another religion under 20 different women, but I prefer your way.
Like, having seen it, it's like, yeah, they're heavily implying that he's gay. But it's really nice the way they handle it. So, yeah, gay characters, hurrah.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, I think it's always worth noting that, you know, anything, you know, any world that somebody creates where, you know, gay people just don't exist, is in and of itself, you know, problematic.
Totally it came got up, your life.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly where it came up recently.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people were like, oh, no, it's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not. You can't, like, force everyone to be straight.
Well, it's like, hey, you, like that time of Dutch Life thing Nintendo talked about, they were like, they said they wanted to not make a political statement. Not including gay people is a statement.
Yes.
That is a statement of your views.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, yeah, the thing is just that, sorry.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say, I think now's probably a good time to start wrapping it up because we're pretty much dead on an hour now. But it's been absolutely fantastic to have you with us today, Tony. It's been lovely.
Yeah.
Yay.
We need to get you back on more often because you're
10
lovely.
10 out of so. 10. Well
done. Podcast again.
Yeah.
I talk all the time, all day, every day. I can only apologize if I gab too much, but I will always be around.
Nobody on this podcast has ever spoken too much. I will keep reiterating that. Nobody talks too much. If anything, talk more, everyone.
That's a dangerous thing to tell me.
It's a dangerous thing to tell anyone, but, you know, I live life dangerously. And anyway, we should talk about where to find things we do on the internet and stuff. Kate, where can we find you on the internet?
I've already explained I'm incognito and live under the radar.
Okay. You're incognito and living under the radar. Gemma, where can we find you on the internet? Are you less under the radar?
I am, because I've got more internet now, I think. Yeah, I'm on Twitter at RayGunGoth. I completely forgot, but you should also check out LadyK.org, because we've got a women-focused game social coming up on July the 18th Loading Bar in Dalston. And yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
So if people want a safe space to be geeky girl gamers, or if you're a game maker, then you're more than welcome to Lady Cade.
I will be bringing my games with me. I will bring some stuff and be like, hey, come play my games that have female protagonists, because, you know, female protagonists, woo.
Awesome. So yeah, that's July the 18th in Loading Bar, ladycade.org. But yeah, right. You can find me on Rego Goth.
Yeah. Yes, it's in England.
I didn't know even. Oh, I'm so like away. It's because I'm so under the radar.
Yeah, it's in July 18th in London. Come along, Kate. Come.
July 18th. I might be busy.
You'll be
on my secret mission.
if you don't, I'm just gonna have to keep shouting "come" at you.
Okay.
Come.
Well, it may be. It's my sister's wedding, like, a week later or something. So I'll get her to reschedule that, shall I?
A week later?
Oh, my God. Seriously, like, this guy is high maintenance.
Okay. Anyway, Tony, where can we find you on the internet?
So if you ever want to learn anything about GamerX, it's gamer, GAYMERX.com. If you want to listen to me complain about how much I want to eat food, then you can follow me on Twitter at TonyTonyRoca, and Tony spelled with an I, not a Y. And I do pretty much just complain about wanting to eat. And I do eat. I eat like five people's worth of food every day. It's a thing.
There is nothing wrong with that. I've eaten an entire bag of Haribo during this podcast.
What kind?
Ooh, and I love bears. So, and I love bears. So we're, you know, you totally just won.
That's
points,
fine. My stomach, my stomach is about 30% bears right now. Anyway, you can find me on the internet at Laura K Buzz on Twitter. I do a couple of other podcasts. So if you like this and you want to hear my thoughts on indie games, you can go listen to the Indie Haven podcast. You can also listen to Category Video Games, which is the podcast where I talk about just like the general games industry. And I might also be taking part in a new podcast soon. Because
we need more.
Okay, long story short, I can't say which podcast it is yet, but there is a podcast that saw the Please Diversify Your Panel stuff that was going on and realized that they were an all-male podcast and were not happy about that. And they reached out and suggested, hey, would you like to come be a member of our podcast because we would like to make an effort to be better representative of the games industry. So I Yay. Might be becoming a regular member of another podcast, which hopefully I'll be able to announce soon. So keep your eyes out on podcasts that have all male hosts, straight white male hosts that are looking to diversify.
That's a pretty easy one to figure out, actually, following Twitter.
I'm curious. You might have... Well, okay, yeah, that's possibly. Yeah. It's not so secret if you follow me on Twitter, but we got into some discussions and it might be happening. But anyway, yeah. Hooray. Hooray for podcasts with all straight white male hosts that are, you know, adding diversity and stuff. But
yeah, at GamerX we actually have a rule that no more than one straight white male guy is allowed to be on a panel.
Actually, my favorite panel I've done, and I have to give a shout out to this still, like the best panel I did was one that was run by this person called Owen Mason, who he's absolutely the nicest guy. He ran a games panel back in December I was on, which had three women and one guy. It had one Indian lady to three white people, so there was like at least one person who wasn't white, two gay people on the panel, and one trans person on out of four people. I was like, that's impressive diversity you've got going
and
on
it
there.
Was really good as that's, well,
and it was such a good panel. You went to that one, Kate, and it was fantastic. Yeah, so it can be done. Go diversify your stuff. Please diversify your panel. That's a thing that's happening, people. It's good that it's happening. Anyway, yeah, you can find the podcast on iTunes by searching The Geek Night In. You probably already know that because I assume you're listening to this probably there. You might download it through Twitter. I don't know. We're on Twitter at The Geek Night In, and that's about it.
Tumblr, thegeeknightin.tumblr.com.
Thank you. I always forget about the Tumblr. I feel really bad
it's
about
new.
That. That's fine. We will get it working. We'll get doing things with it. Anyway, I've rambled on long enough. I'm very tired. I've been up since 3 a.m. and it's now about 10:30 at night. So I'm going to let everyone go. But thank you for listening to the podcast tonight. It's been lovely to have you all here, listeners. It's been lovely to have Tony guesting with us. And we'll talk to you all soon. Bye.
Bye.